Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Biz Tips with the Biz Pro on Biz Tips Radio. I am Stephen McCarroll, your co-host. Biz Tips Radio offers the best in online business radio education for the small business entrepreneur. Whether you're a work-at-home individual or you have a brick-and-mortar business, Carlin's training will uncover an idea that we're sure you'll be able to use in your business this week, maybe even today. Every week, Carlin shares ideas, concepts, strategies, tips, and more with you, her listeners. And, you know, Carlin's been in the business community for over 35 years. She's owned multiple companies. She's owned her own skincare cosmetic company. She's built an internet marketing technology organization and has built teams in the thousands in the home-based business industry. She is a million-dollar producer, and I'd say that those credentials qualifies her to advise, counsel, coach all of us today, and I'm sure you'd agree with that statement. Today's show, Mind Over Matter, and I have a question for you. Our minds are one of the greatest assets we have. Are we using this tool to the best of its ability? That's the question, and in just a minute, we'll have some answers. But first, do you need business ideas, strategies, tips, scripts, and more? If so, be sure to visit the sponsor of the show, Trends2000.net. At the Trends 2000 Training Center, they're on 24/7 daily. Just point your browser to trends2000.net, and there's a lot of free training materials there for you. Because you're a valued listener, we have a free gift for you. No strings attached, no gotchas, no gimmicks. An absolute free video email platform. Feel free to use it and see if video email can enhance your business. And you might find some unique ways you can use that tool for your business. Just go to MrWowWe.biz to open your free account today. MrWowWe.biz. Again, it's absolutely free. Now, if you want to follow our show, it's really simple. Just look to the top of the show page. You'll see our Twitter link, our Facebook link there. You can also click the follow button, and every time we have a show, the system will send you an email to remind you. And just a reminder that our show airs every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Biz Tips with the Biz Pro. Point your browser to biztipsradio.com. biztipsradio.com, and that's how you find us. And if you'd like to join Carlin's Facebook group, just go to facebook.com/groups/thebiz with a Z, the Biz Pro. facebook.com/groups/thebizpro. And we'd like to send a big shout out to everybody on the live telephone lines, to those that are in the chat room. Welcome one and all to the show. Carlin, what's up?
Hey, you want to spell Wowie so people get that right? Because they can go to Ms. Wowie too, you know.
Wowie, Mr. W-O-W-W-E dot B-I-Z. There you go, Carlin.
Very good, because somebody said, is there two W's next to that? So I want to make sure they knew.
Yes, it
is. How are you doing today, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm doing really good.
Yeah?
And, you know, mind over matter, you and I were talking the other day about this subject. And before we get started, I just want to read this little excerpt that was on my Facebook, and I thought this was just so clever and so true. And this is what led us to decide that we should talk about this today. So let me read this real quick.
Sure.
To many of us, oh, the title of this, just so you know, Stop Waiting for Perfect Conditions. This is a three-part series, but I'm just reading part one, and it's just a paragraph. Stop waiting for perfect conditions. Too many of us stand on the dock waiting. We want the ship in place, the gangplank perfectly positioned, the weather right, and an engraved invitation before we're willing to launch out. It will never happen. Dreams don't move toward us. We have to move toward them. One author writes, it's time to quit waiting for perfection, inspiration, permission, reassurance, someone to change, the right person to come along, the kids to leave the home, the new administration to take over, an absence of risk, someone to discover you, a clear set of instructions, more self-confidence, or the pain to just go away. Instead of saying, we're never done, we've never done it before, say, we have the opportunity to be first. Instead of saying, I don't have the resources, say, necessity fuels invention. Instead of saying, there's not enough time, say, I'll change how I work. Instead of saying, I've already tried that, say, I've learned from experience. Instead of saying, I don't have the expertise, say, let's network with those who do. Instead of saying, our vendors and customers won't go for it, say, let's show them the opportunity. Instead of saying, we don't have enough money, say, maybe there's something we can cut. Instead of saying, we're understaffed, say, we're a lean, hungry team. Instead of saying, it'll never get any better, say, we'll try one more time. Instead of saying, let somebody else deal with it, say, I'm ready to learn something new. Instead of saying, it's not my job, say, I'll be glad to take the responsibility. Instead of saying, I can't, say, by God's grace, I can. Carlin, what do you think?
I like all of it. And you know what's amazing is that when you're listening to all of those things, you know, for a long time, you know, so-called old school, it talks about positive affirmations. But this is actually getting into your brain and doing some self-talk and changing the way you look at something rather than seeing the glass always as half empty. It's the half, you know, it's the half full routine. It's looking at the bright side of everything instead of the negative side.
Well, you know, this caused me, and again, this is in three parts, and I just read part one. But as I read through this, it became clear to me that the self-talk that goes on in my head with myself is oftentimes negative
based. A scary place to be.
Yeah, you don't want to be in my head.
I'm sorry.
But it's true. It's oftentimes I get into my head so much that I have to learn to get out of it and change my perspectives. And my perspectives sometimes aren't the most positive perspectives. And this really kind of got a hold of me by the scruff of the neck, shook me a little bit, and
uh-huh.
made me reevaluate, what am I saying in my own mind?
Uh-huh.
How am I coaching my mind and disciplining my mind? Not to say that if I go around saying, hey, I'm the richest man in the world, I'm going to have $1 million land in my lap. I don't think that's what this is saying. I think what this paragraph I just read is saying is we can condition our minds and flip the switch on to finding the positive route rather than the negative route. And that's a mental discipline.
Well, I like that. What about when the young ones around you are watching and you're like, oh, this always happens, or oh, not again, or there's such a thing as such deflated talk that by the time you're finished saying, what am I doing? You're teaching other people around you by how you respond or react to certain situations.
Well, look, Carlin, you train and you coach people all the time in the in-home business world.
Uh-huh.
What are some of the traps you see people fall into in the way they think and look at a new opportunity or a new challenge? What are some of the undisciplined thoughts that you've run into in your years of training?
Well, I find that most people tend to, unfortunately, use past experiences instead of learning lessons from them or what they could do to better it. They hold on to the bad experience or the bad thing, and constantly they almost anticipate or self-sabotage themselves right into the same old thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can you give like an example on how someone has done that you've like seen it happen? Can you paint us a picture?
I'll probably have to think a little bit on that one.
Well, how about you've seen people who, we were just talking about one today, about a conference call that takes place, and how this particular conference call at times gets very antagonistic, and it ends up causing people to say, I don't know if I want to, you know, be part of this call because it's a downer.
Well, what happens on that, Stefan, is that is another huge issue. A lot of people don't realize why they fall into that trap, but they fall into what's called the parental mode in business. And those illustrations I can give you, because those are more real. But see, a lot of people come in with all this baggage, with stuff that they've had, these horrible experiences. They've had maybe been browbeaten by their parents, maybe been ridiculed, maybe been told that they're not worth anything, or you're only as good as your last production or sale or grade or whatever it's been. And so, unfortunately, we get people who come into managing or working with others and begin, their management mode takes on a parental mode. And then they decide to parent their prospects instead of nurturing and taking care of those people as they come in and work through them with them through each step. That's a huge default in this arena. Most people don't have the patience to do that with people. They don't have what it takes to be patient enough to wait. You know, it's kind of like waiting for those babies that you give birth to take those first steps. First of all, I don't feel like you should rush them, because it just out of curiosity, isn't it true? You're teaching them the first 2 years of their life to stand up, walk, and talk, and the next 16 years to sit down and shut up. So I'm not about to push them hard, but I'm going to work with them as they feel the need to pull themselves up and as they feel that urge to go that first next step. I am going to encourage people in the realm of business. I'm going to set down certain steps or goals, if you will, and make them in baby steps so they're palatable. A lot of people say you want to go from point A to point D instead of going, you want to go A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. Somebody else was asking me the other day, hey, can we do this? Would you help me do this and this and this? I said, yes. However, if we're going to do that, I don't do ready, fire, aim. I do ready, aim, fire. And he says, what do you mean by that? And that's another default in a lot of businesses. They don't think ahead about, here's an example. I'm going to blast a bunch of stuff out on the internet, and oh my gosh, now I've got a whole bunch of people responding, and I don't know what to do next. So they never set up their entire game plan. They just fired off a bunch of stuff, and you see companies do that all the time. You see companies just shoot. And the next thing you know, things happen, and a company cannot keep up with the growth, and then you have all this bad stuff that happens in corporations. so that you have companies that become frustrated as they hit a momentum. The next thing you know, they stop their own momentum because they haven't prepared fast enough or better enough or well enough or with the bandwidth of their, you know what I'm talking about. So that happens that way. But here's the whole thing with back to parental mode for just a second. In parental mode, it's so dangerous for me. The way I look at this is because I want to work with people who have already been grown up. You know, they've already come out of their parents' house. They're grown ups, and basically, they're looking for someone to partner with. They're not looking for someone to parent with. So they're not looking for me to go back and be the parent. And a lot of people, unfortunately, when they get involved in a business, know nothing more than what they already experienced in the growing up arena. And so they assume, well, I guess this is the way it's supposed to be. So people step in and do this, and unfortunately they make this real muddy, mucky water by having people go, I didn't like that experience. When I'm all finished with it, it didn't feel good. I don't want to do another one of those things. And that's because we have the wrong kind of people trying to teach people or mentor people or do things in the wrong modes, and it becomes deflating. I can give you the best illustration I personally can think of. There's nothing worse than going into a church on Sunday or Saturday and going into your church and having the pastor browbeat you to death about how you're failing to meet the standards that God is trying to tell you to be and walk and do. And you come out with your head hanging down because now you feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm really messing up. What do I do now? And that feeling of hanging your head and coming down and thinking, oh, my gosh, where do I go next? In that quandary of feeling lost and browbeaten and then starting to feel guilty and all those, that is the parental mode. Now, the best kind of church to go to is somebody where you walk into that church, synagogue, whatever you're doing, and you come out of it, and here's what happens. You've been told, hey, this is the road we're supposed to go on. This is the road we've been traveling. This is where we're going wrong. And here's what we can do to get it right. So here are some solutions. And by giving an A, B, C, or way to do it, or little baby steps to change the pattern, now you have what's called direction. Now you have hope. Now you have guidance. And with that, you come out and your head's held up because rather than walking out feeling condemned and guilty, you feel empowered to be able to have the power to change those things. That's in the parental mode, the difference between partnering with somebody or parenting, being a parent to them in their business. Now, did I make that pretty clear for you to get that?
Yep, you sure
good.
Did.
Good. So one of the biggest mistakes we make, unfortunately, is we get, you know, we take the stuff, the garbage that's in our head, and we dump it on somebody else. And because somebody else doesn't have the strength to understand what's going on, they take it until they can't take it anymore. By that time, they're wallowing around in that. So today's show is basically to teach you, first of all, how to get into your own head, into where you need to be, so that when you are getting what you're feeding yourself, when you're handed something that's toxic, you start to say, whoa, that's not good for me. And you recognize, hey, I don't work well with that. And you're able to voice your opinion, say, you know what, other people may work well with that or may want that from you, but that's not what I'm really looking for. I'm looking for someone who can guide and direct, help me to achieve. If you're not that person, who do you know that can do that? And so that's what you start to identify. That's what you begin to look at inside yourself. You begin to start to say, you know what, I now know what is a good taste and good flavor and feels good versus what I've just been fed and don't understand. And I guess I would kind of come back to bringing some life, real life examples, and that would be, you know, if that's all your mom did is cook out of a box and all you ate all the time was pastas and starches and stuff like that just to get by, you don't realize the difference of when it's time to eat in balanced meals and put the protein there and the vegetables. You're not recognizing it. But when you make the conscious effort to make those differences in your life, then all of a sudden everything comes to life, and then you're able to recognize a bad plate versus a good plate. And that's the only way I can think to explain it. When you start to really work in the realm of what it feels like to be empowered and be in business for yourself and not by yourself, and find the right kind of partners who will inspire you to be a better you and help you to move in the direction you want to go. Those mentors, those relationships are healthy for you and your business. And so you've got to take those relationships and you've got to nurture them, you've got to grow with them, and you've got to see how they feed you. And then you have to give back. You have to feed others what you learn. You nurture that relationship so you're empowered, you've got this great relationships and feeling good about yourself. Now what can you do? You can empower your children, you can empower your spouses, you can empower your business associates, because you change the course of your life. You're not walking around anymore with this big bag of garbage and feeling angry and resentful and bitter, because all of a sudden you start to see things a little different. All of a sudden you're getting the taste of the sweetness, the honey, the things that help inspire other people or get them excited. But you got to start by doing that to yourself. So the things that Stefan read are so valuable. And we learned a long time ago, fake it till you make it. I think that's because they didn't know how to say it. But truly, that's what I had to do. I had to, of course, I don't have to fake being happy or fun. But if you're not a happy and fun person, fake it. Pretend to enjoy the crazy situations around you. Enjoy the things that are not running on schedule. In other words, bask in the moments. Find the things in those situations that can give you a new perspective and change things. Lately and recently, we've been around several different people. With this tough economy, we've said this before, but, you know, watch the world around you. Everybody's talking trash talk. Everybody's having bad feelings and stuff, and that's all that's surfacing. So the old rule is what you feed lives and what you starve dies. And I'll tell you what, if every day you walked around and you smacked each other in the house before you left the house, everybody would be flinching and putting their arms up and not looking forward to seeing or meeting or greeting one another. And that's what we're verbally doing with each other in this society right now. That's what's happening. So maybe changing your self-talk, changing the way you look at things, changing the way you view what's happening around you, maybe you can be that ray of light, that inspiration of hope. When somebody's feeling down and just needed that kind word, maybe you can be that to somebody outside there. And those are the things that begin to happen once you start enjoying what we've talked about today, of learning the pleasures of that. Now, how do you do that? Stefan gave you some affirmations of those things to tell yourself and gave you the opposite is all it is. So if you can write down some things you always see as negative or things that always tend to make you look at the bad or say bad things about it, as Stefan gave some of those illustrations, what is another sentence that you can use to replace it? Now, we've said this before. We've all been programmed, and we're all programmed to have certain reactions and do certain things. And that's evident by the fact that we can go to a movie, we can all be in the same movie, and some will laugh, some will cry, some will say, that's dumb, some will say, oh, that really touched me, because we all have different core values and core beliefs. And because you have those core values and core beliefs doesn't mean they're right, and it doesn't mean they're wrong, but it doesn't necessarily always mean because they're your core belief that it is truly the way it is. It's what you've chosen to accept as your core belief. So as you chose to accept something that's not necessarily a true fact, and that comes when people say, oh, those things, they never work. That's not true. That is just not true. Or, all multi-level marketing is a pyramid scheme or a scam. That's not true. That's a lie. But that could be your core belief that was established by somebody else who believed that, told it to you, and you chose to accept it as truth. Maybe it's time to reevaluate what your real core beliefs are, what you know is very possible, that you've never allowed that to enter in as possibility, because maybe that would indicate to you that maybe you've closed the door to possibly something different or something that's out there that you've been afraid that you think you wanted to have or couldn't have, and it was better to believe that it was not possible. So writing down your core beliefs and deciding on one side of the paper, this is what I really do believe. This is what I believe about my core beliefs. This is unshakable core beliefs. Here's the questionable core beliefs. This is what I was told. I'm not really sure I believe it, but I bought it and I've claimed it as my own. And then here's some things I've never been real and sure about, and I've just went ahead and accepted them to be true. Well, by categorizing those things, now you can work on the other side of them and discover, find, research, and find out if that core belief is really something true or false, and discover it, and then find out if you want to change it as to the counterway to produce that core belief. So, you know, here's an illustration of the way we've all been taught. You know, the 40-40 plan. Go to school for 20 years, go back to go to work for 40, you know, work for 40 years, yeah, retire after that, and hopefully you've got this great retirement plan and you'll never have to work again. And you see a lot of people right now, they're working in Walmart, senior citizens doing a lot of extra things because they can't live on their checks that they get. So this is the way we've all been taught. Go to work, be the best employee, work up the ladder. Now, how many people can really get to the top of the management? How many managers are there really at a McDonald's? Come on. And you're taught to do this. And then you're taught pay your taxes, and you're taught to pay all the taxes of the money you make. And, by the way, don't declare too much because this way you won't have to pay as much into the taxes. So you start to learn these belief systems that become so true to you that it almost scares you to realize that, oh, my gosh, did you realize that you could make more money working in a home-based business, that you can literally put a business under the roof of your home and now declare tax deductions, raising your tax exemptions, and give you a pay raise that help you to pay those bills and have legal, moral, and ethical write-offs in a home-based business that now you can actually breathe, survive, and work? Why do you think people open businesses? There's got to be something to it. If your core belief was the other way, then nobody would open a business. What would be the benefits? So when you start to say, oh my gosh, that's true. Oh my gosh, I know people that are doing that. That changes your core value. So then you have to accept it and believe that that is different. So the old story, remember, and the one I love that backs this up is simply you tell this story personally, and I give you permission to take advantage of it if you haven't heard it. I love this, and so you personalize it. So you say, I was sitting across the table from a friend, and as she was preparing the Easter ham, she cut the butt of the ham off about 4 to 6 inches and threw it in the trash. And I asked her, why do you do that? And she said, well, that's the way my mother taught me to do it. So we called Mom on the phone, and we asked her, you know, when you cut the butt of the ham off, why do you do that? She goes, well, I don't know. That's how my mother taught me to do it. Now, remember, this is core belief systems being passed down from generation to generation. So we called Grandma on the phone. We now got a three-way call going. And we asked Grandma, why do we cut the butt of the ham off? And Grandma just says, well, I don't know why you do it, but my pan was always too small. And that's because we never stop to question or wonder or ask, why are we doing that? Why do we believe that? What's the benefit to that? So when you start asking those questions, become a little bit of a heretic. When you become asking those questions and questioning things, you get the answers to the core of what you then can evaluate as being, wow, that's powerful. I believe that to be real, and I know that to be true now, because my core value knows that because I've experienced it. I can share it and I can teach it. And if you've never experienced that, it becomes very tough to make those first transitions. But you know what? You can do it. You can do it. And it starts with that little baby step. And I've said this before, we're all programmed, so you can't erase your tape. Stefan was perfect in what he gave you today, and I'm going to ask him to read them again. But it's perfect in what he said because you can't erase what's programmed into you, but you can reprogram your thought process. It's blank tape that got Nixon in trouble, right? We can't make blank tape and then try to reprogram. We'd be a mess. but we can reshift, reprogram, redesign, reevaluate, and reconnect different truths to what we want to be. So here's another small one just to give another realm. How many grew up being a child of parents that screamed, yelled, demeaned, or made you or belittled you? And how awful that felt. And you said, I don't want to do that to my kids. I'll never be like that. How many have found yourself falling into those patterns where you scream, you yell, you belittle, and you do exactly what was done to you? Whether it be in the same degree or not, you still do it. Why did that happen? It was a programming way back then. This is what you became to believe would happen when these incidences occur. They were triggers. So what you do is you say, okay, the next time I'm going to start yelling, I'm actually going to stop in my tracks, and I'm going to rethink, and I'm going to take a minute to calm down. So you might start by yelling the first 5 words and then realize catching yourself, and then stop. And all of a sudden, maybe it comes out 3 words, and you stop. The next time, 1 word starts to come, and you stop. And the next time, you've reprogrammed how you choose to handle that situation. Choosing to be the person that you want to be or the person you want to become. So you do, in a sense, have to vision what you really want to be, and you have to see yourself that way at the end result to begin to make that process happen. So when you hear people say, oh, you've heard the old fake it till you make it, I don't think that's a bad thing. So the way somebody may say that, or I've heard it being said, even on the internet today, listen, it's very real. You have to vision it first, and you have to take on the posture that you're already becoming that person that you want to be, or the way you want to think, or the way you want to act, so that those things become evident and real and surface the real part of where you want to be. And then guess what? You'll be that that you want to be, and you'll become what you want to become. And so if you want to start seeing things on a more positive light, I got news for you. We've been going to different places and running around in different appointments and being involved with different groups and different circles of people. And we're experiencing so much of what we're talking about today in those circles. And part of those circles, we sit there and go, oh, yuck, that feels horrible by the time we get out, because we've created an environment of what we want to live in and amongst. And so when we bring our environment to their world is so strong every day. They're every day practicing their bad stuff, and we're every day trying to implement our good stuff, that all of a sudden you can visibly see the right hand from the left hand. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to actually, instead of becoming part of what your environment and what you're around, I encourage you to be different than the environment. Make people go, wow, what's different about you? What makes you unique? What makes you somebody I want to stand up and take notice of or listen to or be a part of or hang out with? I challenge you to fake it till you make it. And the way you do that is simply make that plan. Just like you plan to build a home or move to a house or save for that car or whatever, I ask you to plan for your life what you want it to be, because you don't have to be in all those environments and be subject to becoming what the environment is causing to happen. And you know, if enough people, my dad used to say to me all the time, one person can change the world. Well, we saw it. We saw one person. We heard Mother Teresa. We heard people go out and do things. One person can change the world. But I'm going to tell you, I know one person can change the world, but it works a lot better if we all get on board. We can change it a lot faster because there are a lot more ones of us working together in the same realm. And that's my plea and my encouragement and my inspiration to you today. So, Stephen, would you read some of those again so we can hear the difference?
Yeah, you know, I have something that will cap off our show tonight.
Okay.
In a real wonderful way.
All right.
Listen to this. This will put into a nutshell everything Carlin's been talking about and how we started the show with, you know, our minds are a wonderful tool that God gave to us. And we need to let that tool work to the best of its ability on our behalf. And this is one way, this what I'm going to read, this little paragraph, of resetting your mind. Too often, we want to see the resources or have them in hand before we start moving forward. When we do that, we have neither the resources nor the movement. We need to be like the snail that started climbing up the apple tree one cold day in February. As he inched his way upward, a worm stuck his head out from a crevice in the tree and said, "You're wasting your energy. There isn't a single apple up there." The snail kept on climbing and replied, "No, but there will be by the time I get up there." See, it's perspective. It's perspective. Now, this little story reminded me, you know, years ago when we started in business, how many people said to us, "You're wasting your time. It's never going to work." And we said, "Oh, it'll work because we're going to work at it." How many times do you want to do something powerful in your life and you hear that those voices in your mind, people say to you, "Oh, you, no, come on. That can't possibly work." See, it's perspective. And I like what that little snail did. He just kept going and said, "You know, by the time I get up there, the apple will be ready for picking."
And I'm always reminded of a couple things, too. Hey, you were told, we were both told we would never make it in our marriage.
We were
most likely not to succeed because we were such strong-natured together.
Right.
Well, I laugh because everybody else is divorced or gone or whatever. But what cracks me up is we just took it one day at a time. Staying committed one day at a time. I just cannot stress this enough. Inch by inch, I'm so reminded by the tortoise and the hare. I love that story because even though the hare thought, "I got to do it fast, I got to do this, I got to do it," and, "Ooh, shiny, I get sidetracked, da-da-da." What's wonderful is the tortoise that just continued to stay step by step on his course, never losing sight of where he was supposed to go, ended up crossing the finish line first. So it's not the speed of the game. It's the consistency as well as the attitude.
Carlin?
Yes.
A wise man once said, "Effort only releases its reward after a person refuses to quit." People who succeed see what others don't. It's what keeps them moving forward.
It's true. It's true. And how
you and I, in our business ventures, succeeded because we saw something that nobody else could see at the moment. And we worked for what we knew was possible. And we achieved it. You know, in all the successes you and I have ever had, if I was to look at the failures and successes together, the times that we didn't do so well, our vision wasn't intact. We weren't really going after the dream. We got sidetracked. But every time we massively succeeded, we could see what no one else could see.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what got us, you know, you can't wait for your eyes to pop open in the morning, get up out of bed and get moving, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, Stephen, will you read those once again?
Sure.
The affirmation, and read them, so, and we'll finish off, and then you can give us a
positive thought for the day.
Yeah, but I liked your story. But go ahead. Would you read them once again for us?
Okay, let me get to them here. Okay. Instead of saying, "I've never done it before," say, "I have the opportunity to be first." Instead of saying, "I don't have the resources," say, "Necessity fuels invention." instead of saying, there's not enough time, say, I'll change how I work, instead of saying, I've already tried that. I learn from experience. Instead of saying, I don't have the expertise, say, let's network with those who do. Instead of saying, our vendors and customers will go for it, say, let's show them all the opportunities. Instead of saying, I don't have enough money, maybe there's something I can cut out to make this possible. Instead of saying, we're understaffed, say, we're lean, hungry, and we can go for it. Instead of saying, it'll never get any better, say, I'll try one more time. Instead of saying, let somebody else deal with it, say, I'm ready to learn something new. Instead of saying, it's not my job, say, I'll be glad to take the responsibility. Instead of saying, I can't, say, by God's grace, I can.
I also want to add something to that. When you think you can't, you must.
I love it.
All right, what's your positive thought for today?
Here's the positive thought for today. Things turn out best for the people who make the best of the way things turn out. That comes to us from football coach John Wooden. And remember, our show airs every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And just point your browser to biztipsradio.com. Don't forget, success doesn't just happen. You've got to plan for it. Good night, and we'll see you next week.